out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God the problem. It's no longer up to you. You prayed the prayer of faith. You're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting for the answer, He has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Only believe, trust His word, and see His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much He loves you. He gave His life for you. For all your questions, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations He's not the master of? Is anything Is anything too hard for God?
Amen. Thank you, Sister Johnson. Sandy and Marvin, of course, the whole family has been going through a tough time in Sabrina's passing. Marvin was saying this morning, I don't know how folks make it without the Lord. And of course, the scripture says, we sorrow not as others that have no hope. And you make it just as she was singing. You turn it over to the Lord, amen. And hope you keep praying for them. Very, very tough time, but I'm thankful. Even the loss of a loved one, God can still handle it. Nothing too hard for Him, amen. It's our privilege tonight again to have Brother Larry Braniff with us. Brother Larry is kind of a personal friend of Stephen and myself, and he worked in the college here for us, pastoring over in Lakeland, but driving over and helping us out in the college and being a blessing to us. And he's had a health problem, had to be in the hospital and have surgery, and I think moving up to Tennessee for a little while to recuperate up around, is that where you folks are, Brother Larry? And so we probably not see him as often. And so I've asked him to come on and preach to us the final night tonight. And he was a blessing the last time we heard him. I know he will be again. Just come on up. Good to have you tonight. Good to have the whole family. Appreciate you being with us, Brother Larry. And I want you to remember to pray for this man now as he gets full strength back and gets back in the harness again. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's always a blessing to be here. I appreciate the opportunity of preaching and Brother Carter giving me the service tonight. I enjoyed the service this morning. I was going to harass Brother Stephen. I had a whole line of stuff, and then it dawned on me on the way over here, he's got a Marine bodyguard. So I'm just going to say it was a great service. Good job. So I praise the Lord for that. And of course, we'll be praying for Case. And I don't know if we need to pray for you more or Mama more, but we'll be praying for the whole family. And as American, I want to say thank you for being willing to serve this great nation. And is that okay? You're not going to meet me in the parking lot or anything after? Okay. All right. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. We heard a message this morning from the idea of an example of how to be the right kind of man. And that was a tremendous blessing. And I want to preach tonight with the Lord's help on a father's encouragement. Here, David is trying to encourage his son Solomon in the work that God's given him to do. We're going to look at just a few things here, and I promise not to be longer than 12 hours, and we'll be good with that. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we're going to read the last two verses, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the course of the priests and the Levites, and even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, and for any manner of service also princes and all people will be holy at thy commandment." And you look in verse number one there, and David says to Solomon to be of good courage. That was his desire. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Jesus, we just thank you so much again for the privilege of being here. Lord, we thank you for having good, godly fathers in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that even in the situations where someone doesn't have a good, godly father, you bring godly men across their path to influence them and help them. And we thank you for that. And ultimately, we just thank you for being the greatest father that we could ever ask for. And Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, we pray that even tonight they'd get that settled. Help them to realize there's no hope in religion. There's no hope in their good deeds. There's no hope in their bank account. The only way to get that sin debt paid is through the precious blood of your dear son. And we thank you for being willing to give that. We ask, Lord, if there's folks that need encouragement, that they'll find it tonight. Folks that need direction, they'll find it. Whatever they need, Lord, we know that answer and hope is only found in you. We love you. We thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I don't think the last time I was here, I don't think I introduced my family. I think a lot of folks know them. They're the crazy ones down here. But actually, the last time I was here, only a couple of the kids were with me. My wife, she didn't want to come and hear the preacher, so she stayed home, made a couple of the kids sick, that kind of thing. But she didn't want to do that twice in a row. This is my wife, Sarah, and then we've got Jesse, Caleb, Dixie, Sydney, and Timothy. And so appreciate them being here tonight as well. So if they fall asleep in the service, you know they're just used to hearing me. I do have to say this. My kids are constantly harassing me about my jokes. They said that preachers have the worst jokes, that they just bomb. And after your jokes this morning, on the way home, that was just about all they talked about. Is it every preacher's like that? So, but anyway. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In the first part of this chapter, you find David has a desire to build a house for the Lord. That's a good desire, isn't it? I think any of us, if we were in that situation, we'd say, man, Lord, I've got my home, and the people of Israel got their home. Let's build one for you. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's purpose. Even though the desire was right, the motive was right, that was not God's purpose. So, you know, you can say, well, their motive's right. Having the right motives doesn't excuse not doing the will of God. You got to do what God wants you to do, the way God wants you to do it, if you want to be pleasing unto him and receive that at the judgment seat of Christ. But David, he had a good desire. And God told David that, no, with your past and the blood that's on your hands, you're not going to build the house for me. That's going to be for your son. Now, if it was many of us, we'd pout about that. Yeah. But Lord, I want to do it. I want my name on there. I want a plaque on the temple that says, King David built this for God. Well, God's not interested in that. God's interested in building something in our life and through our life. But David, we give him a lot of flack for his past and all that kind of stuff. But remember, he was the man after God's own heart. He was a man that was man enough that when he was confronted with his sin, would make it right and then move on for God and not cave and give in and say, okay, well, God can't use me anymore. He got back up and he got after it for the glory of God. And so God said that he was a man after his own heart. But this was not for him to do. Now, what his response in that was, okay, it's going to be my son Solomon. Excuse me. He's the one that's going to get that privilege. He's the one that's going to get that opportunity. So he did everything he could possibly do within his power to make sure that his son succeeded. You know, I think as a parent, when you love your children, the greatest thing that you could desire for them is them to live a life that pleases God. Yes. Them to live a life that has purpose with eternal consequences. For them to live a life that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes. And so David, he's like, okay, I'm going to do everything I can to prepare for my son. Now, he comes down to the last couple of verses here, and he's dealing with Solomon. And he's letting him know, you've got a big job to do. This is an important thing. This is the focal point of the Jewish relationship with God. That temple was so important. That's why the Antichrist is going to come in the middle of the tribulation, and he's going to desolate it, trying to make himself out to be the Messiah. And then literally all hell will break loose on this earth. Right. That's going to be a rough. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the real Christ, and he's going to take me out of this world. But boy, for those that are lost and without Christ, we ought to have a greater burden and desire to reach them with the glorious gospel of Jesus than we've ever had. But he said, you've got a big job. It's difficult. It's hard. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be enemies. There's going to be frustrations. There's going to be, probably the biggest frustration is within their own people. You know, I want to lay the cornerstone. No, I want to lay the corner. No, I want to hewn this out. No, I want to do this. I want to do that. When it's really, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. If it's pick up a piece of trash in your name, if it's give somebody a glass of water, if it's preach a message, if it's to smack a liberal, whatever that may, I'm kidding about that. But whatever your purpose is for my life, that's what our goal and purpose ought to be. So David is here trying to encourage his son in that purpose, trying to encourage his son with what God has given him to do. So we're going to look at just a few simple things here, and then from the scripture how we can do that. So there are three things that I want to draw your attention to as far as what he was encouraging him to do. Look again at verse number 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. He's saying, being strong. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be struggle. What's he saying? He's saying, man up. Step up to the plate. Stand in the gap. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, there's going to be problems. Yes, there's going to be difficulties. But you have a strength within you that nothing in this world can match. The greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You know, sometimes we forget about that. What was it that drove the early church to be willing to be burned at the stake, singing the praises of a holy God? And now we come in America where people will say, oh, well, it's a little too chilly out tonight, so I'm not going to go to church. What's the difference there? We've moved the source of our strength from the God of heaven to our bank accounts, to our liberties, to our constitution, to whatever it may be. But we've got to get back to the place that, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter where God has us. He is the strength that we need. He is our source. And here David is telling Solomon, man up, be strong, get out there and do something for the God of heaven. Now, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here, but look at the second thing here. We're going to spend most of the time, the other 11 and a half hours of the message, on how the encouragement to do what he's telling him to do here. So the first thing is man up. Be strong and of good courage. The second thing is and do it. Yeah. And do it. Right? It's get it done. Or as the great theologian would say, get her done. Right? Just do it. You know, you can know what's right And we can sit back, as my preacher used to say, sit back on your blessed assurance. And, we can sit back and complain about this and, well, it should be done this way. And if I was in charge, it'd be done this way. And if they had any wisdom, to come to me, then I would tell them to do it this way. Well, why don't you just zip it for a minute, get up and go do it. Right? That's what he's saying. Do it. Get it done. David's saying, look, my desire is to build this temple for the God of heaven. My desire is to build a place where all of Israel and all the world would know what we think of our God and how holy and righteous and pure and powerful. Can you imagine? You look at this world and you see some of the things that created beings have built and come up with.
Yeah.
I mean, beautiful things. I have a man in the church that I pastored. He's an artist. He's also a mechanic, and he owns a garage, owned it for years there in Lakeland. And you go into his showroom there, and the back wall is just filled with paintings that he's done and some of his students have done. And, of course, being from North Alabama, he had a painting that looked like a scene from North Alabama. And so he gave that to my family and I to take up to Tennessee with us. And, I mean, just beautiful things. And you look at some of the stuff, some of the buildings that architects would come up with. You ever look at an engine and wonder, how in the world did a man come up with that and put it together? It was aliens that did it, right? No, it was God. God worked through those things. But you look at those things, you think, man, there's some wonderful things that man has done. I mean, look at the building we're in tonight, right? There's some great things. Can you imagine what the Creator's doing for us in glory? I mean, He spoke this world to existence in 6 days. We're going up to the Smoky Mountain area, and I've never been to any place more beautiful than the Smoky Mountains. There may be a place like that, maybe somewhere in North Alabama. That'd be about the closest thing. But man, it's beautiful. You see the fall and the changes and of the scenery, and we love to hunt and camp and things like that. And, we're looking forward to doing some of that up in the mountains, and maybe sneaking in a bear hunt when no one's looking or something like that. It's beautiful.
Amen.
He spoke it all into existence in 6 days, and He's been working on a mansion for you and I for 2,000 years.
Amen.
Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Dear sister that sang, well, it was beautiful. I've never heard that song before. Beautiful message. And it's obvious the grace of God is real in your life. And you just think about the joy that precious loved one's experiencing right now. What an amazing thing. That's what's waiting. That's the great God that we serve. Why in the world would we not do what we're supposed to do? Every one of us deserve hell. And Jesus paid the price so we don't have to have it. Every one of us don't deserve that opportunity, but He made it simple. The Bible talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. The religious crowd tries to complicate this book, so you have to listen to them. Jesus says, listen to me and my spirit, and I'll open up the book to you. We need to listen to God and not men. Now, when man's preaching the word of God, that's a different thing. But when they're preaching opinion, man, throw that out the door and stick with the book. But we've got a lot of work to do. As an American, I'm how old am I? I'm 47? Is that right? 46. I made myself older than I am. I'm 46 years old. And my country is an entirely different country than it was when I was a kid. We are losing our country. We're losing our liberties. We're losing our freedom. And as an American, I don't like that. As a Christian and a preacher, it's probably a good thing, because maybe the church will get serious and get back on our knees, get back in the scripture, and start trusting God and see God do something great. Now, I don't want to lose my freedoms, but if that's what it takes for the church to get serious about serving God across our land and reaching the lost, it'll be worth it.
Amen.
But man, there's a work to do. You say Pastor Carter's been here in Haines City 200 or 300 years, whatever the time frame is there. But I can imagine every door in this town has been knocked on multiple times because of the outreach of the Landmark Baptist Church. But you know what? Right now in Haines City, Florida, there's more people that are lost without Christ than are saved. Don't quit doing it. Go get the job done. Say, well, we've been to that neighborhood. Well, you know what? There's someone else that's moved in there. Maybe there's a seed that was planted that's ready to be reaped. Go back again. Maybe there's some Christian that needs to be encouraged. Go back again. Here, David, he's telling Solomon, look, man up, be strong, get it done. There's a work to do. And then the third thing is, he says, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. He said, be courageous.
Yes.
Now, everybody has fear. You know, you see the bumper stickers, you know, fear this or no fear or all that. You know all that is? That's somebody crying, saying, I'm afraid of a lot of things, but I don't want anybody to know about it.
Right.
Everybody has fear.
Yes.
Parent, as a parent, as your kids get older, you have a lot of fears. Boy, Sharon, you better have a lot of fears. You're marrying Hector. We need to pray for them. But anyway, fear's part of life. Having the courage to say, I'm going to look at my fear and understand God's bigger than that fear and moving ahead. That's what he's trying to encourage Solomon to do. It's like David did. David, remember when he was just a young lad and being obedient to his father, going and check on his brother, and he goes up there and sees this giant out there mouthing off to God, mouthing off to God's people, and he sees all of the great men of Israel quivering like little schoolgirls hiding behind the rocks. You say, well, what would you do if the giant was there? If I was looking at the giant, I'd be hiding behind the rocks too. But if I was looking at the God that created the giant, that can take care of the giant, I'm going to go out like David and say, hey, God's going to deliver your head to me. Your carcass is going to feed a lot of buzzards this day. See, what's our perspective? That David's trying to encourage his son. Say, man up, do it, be courageous. Don't let your fear stops us from doing many things. We like to talk about the faith life. We like to talk about living by faith.
Yeah.
You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We know that. We understand that here, but you got to get it here so it'll work out in your life and you do something by faith. Brother Carter's leading us to do something and we don't have the money to do it. Well, is God broke? Well, we don't have enough labors to do what we need to do. Well, maybe if some folks would quit being just a spectator and become a laborer, God's already provided the labors. You just got to get in the fight, whatever it may be. But we got to do it. So he's trying to encourage his son, David. Now, here's what I want to get to tonight. And I'll famous last words of a Baptist preacher. I'll try to be brief. But how are you going to do it? It's one thing to know what we need to do. It's another thing to do it. Every child of God that's been saved for any length of time knows you ought to be studying the scripture. I remember I was working. This is one that my kids, you know, just they cringe when I say this. But when I was going through college, I was working at a very, very illustrious Mexican restaurant called El Taco Bello. And I was the night manager. And there was a string of counterfeit money going on in the area, and you know, the police had come by and told us what to look for, and you know, all that kind of stuff, and what to do if we got one, and you know, all that kind of thing. And I had a friend that was working at a bank, and so I went and I talked to my friend, and I asked him, how do they train you to see and recognize a counterfeit bill? And my friend said, they don't do that. Because what they do is they make us handle the real thing all the time. And when something comes along that's not real, there's a flag that goes up that says, hey, something's not right here. Take a closer look. You know, if you would just study the scripture and get into the word of God, when some heretic comes along with some new doctrine and tries to twist things around or change this or change that, the Holy Spirit of God throws up a flag and says, hold on, check that out. And then you just go back to the real thing, your King James Bible, and then you search out the scripture. You compare scripture with scripture, you rightly divide it by dispensational view, and then the Holy Spirit of God says, that's where that guy's wrong, that's where he's a heretic, look out for him, mark him, and then you stand on the truth. But there's a job to do, there's work to do, and sometimes we know what to do, but how do you do it?
We know we're supposed to study the scripture. We know we're supposed to win souls. We're supposed to share the gospel. As far as the increase, that's God's business. Our business is to sow the seed. Well, I don't see the results I want. That's not our business. That's His. You just keep sowing the seed. You know you're supposed to be faithful to church, especially the closer we get to the return of the Lord. It's more important than ever in the day and age we live in. I mean, there are things that we can go through, all kinds of things, and things that we know we're supposed to do, things we know we're not supposed to do, right? It's one thing to know it, it's another thing to do it. So David not only spends some time trying to encourage his son, hey, man up, be strong. Don't be a snowflake in a snowflake generation. Man up, do what you need to do, and stay courageous. Yeah, there's going to be some scary things, but you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like Peter when he's walking on water. As long as he's focused on the Lord, he was okay. As the moment he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at his circumstances, he began to sink. But the moment he realized he was sinking, he cried out to God, and he reached out, picked him back up, and they walked back to the boat together. So how do we do that? Here's the encouragement that David gave his son Solomon. How to complete this. Look with me again. The Bible says in the middle of verse 20, "For the Lord God, even my God." Now we're going to stop right here for a second. This isn't part of the message, but aren't you glad that God's a personal God?
Amen.
David said he's my God. You know what? I got to talk to the God of heaven today.
Yes.
I got to spend time with him. And he heard me. And he listened to me. And he speaks to me through his word. He speaks to me through circumstances in life. And what an amazing God we serve. But he's a personal God. He knows the cares and the burdens that you're dealing with. He knows the decisions that you have to make this week or next week. He knows the problems that you don't even know that are coming around the bend. He knows all of it. And he's concerned about you. I love the verse where it talks about he knows the number of the hairs on your head. Because I know he's keeping up with me because I'm losing hair every day. So he's got his eyes right there on me. But he's a personal God. He's talking to Solomon. He's saying he's my God. Is he your God?
Yes.
If he's not this evening, boy, get it settled. There's no hope in religion. There's no hope in yourself. You can't write a check big enough. God spoke all this into existence. He gave the only thing of value that he had, which was his son on the cross at Calvary to purchase our salvation. If he's not your God, he can be tonight. Put your faith and trust in him and him alone. But David, he's even in his encouragement, he's reminding Solomon that he's a personal God. So the Bible says, "For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Now, real quick, three things in this verse, and then the last thing will be verse 21. God will be with you. He'll be with you.
What?
You know, you see in the Bible where it talks about oxen being yoked together, and we understand in the scripture it talks about to not be unequally yoked together and all that kind of stuff. When normally what they would do is they take an old ox that knew what he was doing, and they'd yoke it up with a young ox that had the strength, and the young ox would learn how to pull the cart or the plow or whatever it was by watching the old ox, and they'd work together. You don't take a donkey and strap it up with an ox. It's going to be a crazy configuration there. And so you have certain things that you're trying to accomplish there. David is trying to encourage his son. Look, you're yoked up with God. This isn't David's job. This isn't your job, Solomon. This isn't Israel's job. This is God's work. You know, you come to simple realizations in life when you get over yourself and quit thinking that you are the end all of everything. You know, when I first became a pastor, I was convinced within a year's time, the state of South Carolina was all going to be saved. My first pastor was in South Carolina. I mean, they were all going to be saved. My congregation was going to be the state of South Carolina. I don't think that worked out for me. It didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. Man, I remember the first big problem I had to deal with as a pastor. I'd only been pastoring 9 months. There's some doctrinal issues and speaking in tongues and different things like that. You think in a Baptist church, it was actually someone that had handled the finances of the church, the church treasurer. Friends, you know, lifelong friends with everybody in church, that kind of a thing. And so, man, it turned into a mess. I had my first real deacon's meeting about that, and I had a guy putting his finger in my face and telling me this was going to stop and all this kind of stuff. And of course, I leaned back in his face and just told him, "Have a nice day." No, it was an interesting meeting. We'll just say that. And I thought, after 9 months, I'm done. They're having a meeting Wednesday. This was Sunday night. All this broke loose. Wednesday night, they were having a meeting to vote me out. That was their plan. And man, I went to pray, and I went to call in older preachers and preachers that I have confidence in and things like that. And all of them said, "Man, you follow the Lord. You do what you're supposed to do. But I would start packing because you're in a small Southern town, and they're all related or lifelong friends and all that kind of stuff." I'm like, man, I've only been here 9 months. I called my preacher at the time, and he said, don't even go to a vote. Don't put your family through that. Just resign, come back here and work for me. Of course, he didn't want me to go pastor. He wanted me to work for him to begin with, and you know, that was a whole nother issue for another time. Man, I was discouraged. And I was praying. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, man, everybody's telling me it's going to end bad. Now, most of the people that I talked with said, "But you stick it out. God's going to teach you some things and show you some things. But just understand, it's probably not going to work out that well for you. But you go through the battle and you learn the things you need to learn." And some were just telling me, "You cut bait and run. Just give it up and do something else." And man, I struggled with that. I prayed and I prayed. My wife and I, we had two little children. One was 2 years old. No, one was 1 year old, and she was expecting Caleb. So we had a 1 year old, and she was about 6 months with child. And I'm thinking, I'm about to be homeless because we lived in a parsonage behind the church. I'm about to be unemployed, which, I mean, it was a small church. I was full-time at $250 a week. So we weren't getting rich or anything, but the Lord's taking care of us. And I'm looking at it thinking, what am I going to do? I don't have the money to rent a truck to move my family. So we just have to sell everything and what we can throw in the car and head down the road. And we went and we were getting boxes and we're boxing stuff up. This was on Monday and Tuesday. And I told the church on Sunday that I wasn't going to make one call to try to convince anybody to vote for me. I'm just going to talk to God and we're going to let God work it out. Whatever happens, happens. But boy, I was getting all kinds of calls. "Preacher, what's going on?" Man, we had the largest Wednesday. It was larger than any Sunday crowd we'd had in the time I'd been there. I mean, people that hadn't been to the church in 352 years showed up and said, I'm on the roll, I can vote. And I thought, boy, this is going to be interesting. So we had the meeting, and make a long story short, God was there. Amen. That church stood up and told the folks that were trying to stir up all the mess, "We're sticking with the preacher because he's right with the book, and we want to be right with God." And we had my first church split 9 months into my pastorate, but it was the best thing that ever happened to that church. God did some things. People started getting saved, and we started seeing people get baptized. The church began to grow. I mean, it was an exciting thing when we saw God do that. You know what that was? God was with me. If I had to do that on my own, I probably would have been in jail. Because when the guy stuck his finger like that, what I really wanted to do was to break his finger and then break his jaw. Yeah. But I didn't have a Marine bodyguard, so I didn't do that. That's what I wanted to do. I had thought about over the next couple of days going to his house. Said, hey, let's continue that conversation. But God said, no, you represent me. I'm with you. You do it my way. And David's saying, hey, how are you going to man up? How are you going to get it done? How are you going to stay encouraged? You remember that God's with you. Not only that, the second thing we saw in that verse was that God will not fail you. It's funny, going back to that same meeting, it was the main deacon stood up at the beginning of the meeting when the church was voting, and he said, in my, you know, whatever it was, 50-some years of being saved, for the first time in my life, God failed me. I'm like, what in the world? Because he was talking about the meeting we had, because I told the church, I said, look, if the meeting tonight goes anything like the deacon's meeting we had, you do not want your children to see this. You do not want them to associate this with church. It will cause them some problems in the future. And so we dismissed all the children. And so he stood up and said, for the first time in my whatever years of being saved, God failed me and God let me down and I lost my temper. Well, I think God allowed him to say that stupid remark because people realized right then, we ain't following that guy. God never lets you down. We let God down. There's been many times I've let God down. There's been many times I've made decisions on my own or emotionally or without praying about it or out seeking counsel from godly men that'll give me biblical counsel. There's been many times where I've done things that I've let God down, but there's not been one time ever in the history of any man, woman, or child that has ever lived where God failed us. And David saying, hey, you man up, you get it done, you stay encouraged. Because God's with you, he'll not fail you. And then the third thing we saw in that verse is he reminded them that God will not forsake you. But that's different than God being with you. God being with you is he's under the load with you. He's your provider. He's your protector. He's your high priest. He's the one that's the all in all. He's the one that has everything you need, is everything you need. He's with you. Now he's saying he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now let me ask you something here tonight. I don't want you to raise your hand. It's not my business between you and God, but I want you to think about this and be honest with yourself. Think about the last time that you did fail God. Think about that last time you did something you wished to God you could go back and undo. You made some statement that you wish you never would have made. You did made some inaction that you look back and think, man, I wish I would have stepped up. I wish I would have done that. Whatever it may be, you know, the great thing is God will never forsake you. My pastor back home in Alabama, he used to say a true blood-washed, born-again child of God, or what was it? You said born-again child of God is never more than one true prayer of repentance of being absolutely right with God. He'll never forsake you. When your heart's hurting, he doesn't forsake you. When you have a decision, you don't know what to do, he won't forsake you. When you know the decision that God leads you to and it doesn't make any sense in your plan and you're thinking, what in the world, God? But you just do it because you know he's never gonna forsake you. Amen. See, David is encouraging his son. He's saying, man up. Be strong. Get it done. Do it. Be courageous. Don't quit. Don't give in. And how are you gonna do it? Remember that God will be with you, that God will not fail you, and God will not forsake you. And then you come to verse 21. And the Bible says, and behold, the course of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee, all the servants of the house of God, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man. Boy, that's an important word right there, willing. We ought to all be willing to serve the God of heaven, whatever the task may be. For any manner of service, also the princes of all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Not only will God be with you Solomon, not only will God not fail you, not only will God not forsake you, but God has co-laborers to stand beside you. Sometimes you feel like you're all alone, don't you? Elijah felt that way. He said, God, I'm the only one that's serving you. And God said, hey, Elijah, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal, nor worshiped his image. You're not in it alone. When you feel like you're alone, it's because we've made ourselves feel that way.
Right.
Boy, God's got some co-laborers that he's going to bring along, and he'll help you. David's saying, Solomon, it's a big work. You can't do it alone.
Yes.
It's a great task. You can't do it. But you man up. You get it done. You stay encouraged because God's going to be with you. God will never fail you. God will never forsake you. And God will bring co-laborers along.
Right.
And he'll do the work he's given you to do. So tonight on Father's Day, just a little encouragement tonight. This isn't just for men. This is for all of God's children.
Yes.
Now, I guess we got to be careful how we say this in the day and age we live in. Man up, but you know, you're a woman. You can't change that no matter what you think or what you try. So you woman up if you're a woman. You man up if you're a man. But you stand up and do what God's given you to do. Get it done, and you stay encouraged. How? He's with you. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. And he's got other people that will come along beside you. You just stay faithful and get it done. Pastor Carter.
Let's stand with our heads bowed and think about what we've just heard. God has spoken to us to encourage us to get it done, to be of good courage, to realize he's not going to forsake us. And not only that, he's got others that we might not even know about. I don't guess that Elijah knew about the 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal, but they were there. And God had them all the time. Could be tonight you say, well, I just come to church, but I just felt so down and I'm just so discouraged and this has gone wrong and some bad things happen and folks, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to God's servants, God's people. But as the Lord told Joshua, be of good courage, not to quit. Amen. Father, may you add your blessing to our hearts tonight from what we've heard. Father, what we need to realize is the business isn't over yet. The job's not been finished till you say so. And help us, Father, not to mentally quit. Scripture tells us to be not weary in well-doing, that we will reap in due season, and that's your plan. And Father, we thank you. Even as we heard Sister Johnson sing tonight, out of a hurting heart, there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for you. Tonight, Father, may you bless in the invitation. There could be somebody here unsaved. And Lord, they really have no encouragement till they come to Christ. They have no answers till they come to him. I pray for them tonight to come. But I pray for your people. The devil can't steal our salvation, Lord, but he can sure steal our joy. He can discourage us. Help us, Lord, to see through that and to realize that you're still with us and you're not going to forsake us. Bless the invitation tonight in a special way and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Where do you need encouragement tonight? Look in the Word. Get on your knees. Sometime talk with friends. Help them to pray with you about a matter. But don't ever get to the place of despair. Don't ever give up. His promise is he won't forsake us.
I surrender humbly at his feet. forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Let's bow our heads a moment. We're not saying anymore. You could still come, but we're encouraged to pray. We're told that men ought to always pray and not to faint. There's a connection there. When you're yoked together with the Lord, that's what prayer does. It yokes us together with the Lord. That's a reason not to faint, not to give up, not to quit. Brother Branham shared something personal there in his life when they had the church trouble, and nothing can hurt a parent any more than a wayward kid. Nothing can hurt a preacher anymore than a church going off into heresy, going against the word, against the truth. Old preacher told me one time, in fact, he was the one that God used to help get me in the ministry. Brother Sawyer standing here knows I'm talking about Brother Smith. He told me, he said, it takes a special relationship with God for the preacher not to become defeated and give up. He said, you see, the average person has their own problems, their own family problems, problems that's common to man. He said, but a preacher not only has his own personal problems, his family problems, problems that are common to any man, but then he has to share in everybody else's problems. He has to help carry the burden of so many that bring them that to him. And it's very real. And he says it finally wears and loads you down, and the burden becomes so heavy and so much because you feel for those people. You love them like they were your own family. He said, so it's a big load. He said, you can't carry it by yourself. He said, if you don't learn to yoke up with God, you can't make it. You'll go a while, but you'll be defeated. You'll wash out down the road. And so that preaching tonight was encouragement to me, Brother Larry. I'm yoked up with God. He's not going to forsake me. Not only that, he's got some helpers that's going to run alongside, and they're going to help you carry the load. Amen. Well, it's going to be something on the other side. We sing about it. I don't think we believe it sometime. Bring your burden to the Lord. Cast it all on him. We can sing it. Boy, it's hard to practice. Hard to practice, but it's real. It's real. I believe you got something tonight that'll help you. If you came to God's house with little burden, big burden. If it's your burden, it's never little, is it? Other folks have little burdens. You have big burdens, right? That's us. Well, I believe you got some help tonight. Thank you, Brother Brenna, for the message. Pray for him. This is another step in their life. I believe the report, though, on the surgery was good, wasn't it? It's not malignant. It's not bad. That's answered prayer. Remember when we had him on the prayer list praying about that. So God's been good. Amen. All right, we praise the Lord. Had a good Father's Day today. And, of course, we're rejoicing with the family being here. I hope maybe you got to be with your family. But some folks, I've said this, sickness and death and sadness never has a holiday, never respects a special day. And so there's some of our folks wound up in the hospital today that didn't expect to be there last week. So pray for those. Amen. All right, I do need the meeting tonight over in the cafeteria with the camp workers. And Brother Parsons and I will meet with you over there for a few minutes tonight. Camp tomorrow. Pray about the camp. Pray about good weather. I don't know what good weather is. It's whatever we can stand, whatever God sends. It's going to be hot. We're not asking him to take that away, but just ask God to give us what we need out there and to give us a great spiritual camp. There's a lot of kids who'll get saved this week. There's a lot of kids that'll get some direction for their life this week. Pray about that. We've got an investment. We've invested the Lord's money in it because the goal is a spiritual goal, reaching these young people for Christ. Been going on for years. I don't think we've had a bad camp. We even had the state set the woods on fire one time. Right, the state did that. And ashes was falling in our camp, and I was raising sand at them. And by God's grace, the wind blew the other way, and we still got the camp and had a great camp. Amen? God's still in charge. All right. Turn around and shake hands with somebody, and don't forget the meeting if you belong in it. Let's go right on over pretty quick.